This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to PTBN's NBA Team Podcast as we continue our Gone Fishings, our season recaps and look back and what's ahead for a lot of these teams that are no longer playing basketball. I don't know if they're fishing, co-host Adam Murray. Do you think they're all fishing? I mean, I was not a fisher myself.
They are all out searching for their own name, image, and likeness deals. They are far, far away from the practice facility. That's all we know, and maybe if they had spent more time in it, we wouldn't be talking about them right now, right?
Well, that's why, like, when Omicron happened, it was funny because, like, you know, especially in those cold cities, you don't want to be like out, like, what are you going to be doing outdoors? You know, so like, no one's going to be like hunting for bears and like deer. So like, on your off days and spending time with your family, so like, they're all going to the clubs.
So we're gonna call this Gone Beachin'?
Gone Beach. Well, no, my whole point is that when Omicron happened and it was the transmissibility went up, everybody got COVID. Why? They were all in the club hanging out with each other. Probably going to strip clubs. Am I wrong?
All right, let's get into it.
Yep, and let's hit the Atlanta Hawks. This season was they did have expectations. Obviously they didn't meet the expectations, but I don't think they had like the worst season ever.
Yeah, they did, because they had expectations of them going all in. You gave John Collins that $100 million deal. You gave Kevin Huerter that deal.
Yes.
And, you know, Kevin money, Huerter money has
deal
run
is
out.
The one that I think they might regret.
Yeah. And then, as we mentioned, every season, well, now you got to start making choices. Cam Reddish, gone. Nope. And then the money just shrinks awfully fast because you got to pay Trae Young. And next year, you're not losing anybody. You got, everybody has to come back. And well, now you don't have the money for the ancillary players, as we've seen. If you're just getting a bum off the street on a 10-day contract, two-way player, you get really sort of two-way player stats as opposed to having a valuable bench rotation guy.
It is super rare to find like a great rotation guy out of the two-way. You might get somebody who's in the rotation, but not like an impact player. It's super duper rare, like you said. Now, let's just paint the picture where they were in the offseason. So they go to the conference finals. They're feeling froggy. John Collins was a restricted free agent because they didn't extend beforehand because Collins made a bet on himself, and he played really well in the playoffs, and he turned that, like you had said, into a really nice contract that started just this past season. It didn't start for the next one. That is going to be the case for Trae Young, who signed what is probably going to become a rookie supermax. So what happens is he signed a rookie max, but it can be bumped to a 30% supermax if he hits certain incentives, and I think he's probably going to hit those incentives. As we record, it's not announced what All-NBA is, but I think because one of the main criteria is that Trae Young has to make All-NBA, one of the three All-NBA teams, I think he's going to get it.
It'll be close. It'll be not – it won't be as clear-cut as we think, but yes, Trae Young extension does kick in. And then also somebody else whose contract is coming up, or?
Yeah, DeAndre Hunter.
Yeah, so you need to find money for him. And
me say this about DeAndre Hunter. I know they lost to Miami mercilessly in five games, a series that even though Trae Young had a wonderful regular season, he was player of the week multiple times, he was god-awful in the Miami series. Maybe it was just a bad matchup, and we'll just chalk up for that. DeAndre Hunter was good in the Miami series.
He is finally developing into that consistent player, because it was always, yeah, he was good, but he was spotty, or he got injured, and well, he have an off game, but now he seems to be back and just, you know, I don't want to say the discord of the Atlanta Hawks where, well, now I'm not getting my touches and there wasn't that cohesive team unit that they had before. Right. It sounded like there's a lot of turmoil.
Yeah, there was an article in The Athletic that came out postscript or postmortem about Atlanta where a lot of inside sources really dog Nate McMillan. And I thought McMillan did a good job with Atlanta in the 21 season. Were they the beneficiary of the Ben Simmons meltdown when they played Philadelphia and you know, Giannis getting his knee run into by accident? Maybe, but still, like, on your, I mean, I don't know if you hang a banner for making the conference final, but it's still on your resume that you made the conference finals. But defensively was really the biggest problem. They were just so bad. I know Hunter did help out their defense a little bit, but I mean, I'm just looking at their numbers right now, and they were like 26 in efficiency, 21st in points allowed, 24th in field goal percentage defense. Like, that's a recipe for disaster if you're going in the playoffs.
Yeah, and it was just one of the 20. They started off slow, and it's like, well, they should turn up. They shouldn't be, you know, because they were like 12th in the conference for a while. It's like, well, yeah, they should get better.
They were out of the play-in.
They never really turned it on. And it was just sort of like the, you know, another team will get to the Lakers of, oh, yeah, they'll get to it. They'll get to it. We should be good. No, just never did.
Bogdan Bogdanovic had some nice games. He's going to be 30 soon. So, you know, I think his time limit will be right on time with his contract because he has another year at $18 million in this upcoming season and then a player option at $18 million in 23. Now, obviously, the cap is rising up, so I don't know what $18 million in 2023 is going to mean. Like, does that mean you're average? Like, I don't know what Bogdanovic is going to do, but I think that kind of works out nicely, and I thought he had a pretty good year. Capella got basically tacked on two more years that was pretty much online with like incremental increases of the previous deal. So he's in the fold. I thought he had a good year. I thought his injury really hurt them in the playoffs.
Yeah, it did, because he was the only, it was sort of just like a Utah thing where it was just 4-1. He was just, you are the center, you hold the paint, and everybody else just sort of work around you. But I you know, in the end, it just comes down to Kevin Hurt is going to get $4 million last year, 14 next year. So
he didn't get hurt, but he averaged 12 points and
he didn't get hurt, but he didn't.
And his field goal percentage was okay. Like, he was probably their best three-point field goal percentage shooter. So he's not like a bad player. It's just like, is he going to do the Anthony Edwards thing? That's too much to ask. I'm trying to think of another, like a Jordan. Is he going to do the Jordan Poole thing where he just explodes in his next year? Like, he needs to.
There was no development this year. And that's sort of, you gave him the money to do so, and it never happened.
Onyeka Okongwu had some nice moments. I think he could actually, when Capella's out, I think he can fill in okay. I think he needs he only played 48 games, so injuries have been an issue for him. But he did look strong as we went down the stretch. Now let's just hit the salaries. So I think the most interesting part, because they're pretty locked in, like you said, they're going to be in the tax because they're going to have to negotiate something with DeAndre Hunter, whether it's an extension now or they hardline like they did with John Collins and wait out until he's a restricted free agent in 23. We'll see what they do. That's going to be probably the most compelling part of the offseason storylines, unless the owners of the Hawks just really go all out and they just say, you know what, let's flip John Collins for something, or we're not going to pay DeAndre Hunter. Let's send him somewhere else. We'll see. But the most interesting thing that they can do as they're constituted is that the deal with Gallinari, who didn't really have a good year at all, he's got a $21 million guarantee, but only $5 million is partially guaranteed if you cut him. So I think because of the Hunter situation, they're very likely to cut him.
Yeah, and there's really nobody to, you know, yes, he's getting old, so, and he did stay healthy for this time, which was the big thing that I don't think anybody thought would happen after all those Denver years.
He played 66 games, which for him is good, you know.
Yeah, so, but it's just one of those things, like, well, you're getting old now, and you need to, Hunter's going to get your money, so you got to move on, but who's going to replace him? You don't have money to get a replacement because
they gave up on Cam Reddish. So, I mean, like, I know they were in the play-in. Like, can they get something with that draft pick, which is somewhere in the teens? Like, I don't know. Lou Williams, I think he's sayonara. Same for Gorgui Dieng. That was just a one-year. That was a mid-level guy. Kevin Knox, probably let go of his cap hold.
Oh, he didn't even play at all. It was just he just fell off as well.
There were two people in the back end that I think they really like. They like Jalen Johnson, who's already guaranteed anyway because he was a first round pick, and DeLon Wright. I think will stay. I think DeLon Wright was a good backup point guard for Trae Young.
But just Atlanta has just a lot of questions to answer, which happens with expectations.
Right. And I think their expectations are probably going to get lowered a little bit, but I think that's good for them because that's when Atlanta is at, and Trae Young in particular, are their most dangerous. All right, Adam, the LA Clippers, this was a tale of two teams, but not within the season. It was before the season even started.
So that sums up the LA Clippers. Moving on next, right?
Yeah, it's just waiting for Superman. Like, you know, like Kawhi Leonard, they're playing, like, let's trail all the way back. So in the 21 playoffs, Kawhi Leonard's destroying. And late in the game, I think he landed on a dunk or a layup, and he tore his ACL. We didn't know this at the time, but it came out much later, and they didn't have him for the conference finals when they lost to the Suns. So they – and because of the fact that the 2021 season – which was a COVID-affected season, started later. The playoffs happened later. So when he had the injury later in the playoffs, the likelihood of him coming back for the regular season in 22 was already in doubt. And it turned out that he did not play a game. I have no fault for that. This was not a Ben Simmons, Willie, or won't he situation. A torn ACL is legitimate. I totally understand why he didn't play a game.
Yeah. And then you had Paul George go out, and then you trade for Norman Powell, and Norman Powell goes out. And that just, I don't think we really need to say anything else about the Clippers season. It's just, yeah, they were completely just injured the entire time. And the fact that they made it, they overachieved as much as they did, is absolutely amazing.
And then so, Paul George gets COVID for the elimination game against the Pelicans.
Just fitting. But
not laughing at the situation. It was just weird.
But next year, you got Paul George coming back. You got Kawhi coming back. I can see them want to move out of Marcus Morris. But you got him.
Powell. That's the rumor. That's the rumor that they're trying to trade away Morris's deal. That's got 2 years left. Yeah.
You got George, Leonard, Powell, Kennard, Reggie Jackson, all coming back. So I think you're sort of not in a bad shape.
No. Like I said, it was a tale of two teams. Because the team that has Kawhi and Paul George, you're thinking championship. You're thinking about a team that could really do it. And let me say this about the Clippers. There were moments like in 20 and in 21 when they were together and healthy where they looked like a championship team. Where you were like, man, that team shoots the ball well. Kawhi's unstoppable. Paul George, I know he gets maligned for his playoff performances all the time, some of it being deserved. But he's a phenomenal player, especially in the regular season. When he went down with his – I think he had a problem with his hand or his wrist – that was really it for them. And then the paradigm shifted for them. It was like, okay, now what can we scratch out the playoffs with Reggie Jackson, Marcus Morris Sr. and Luke Kennard? I still remember that game with Luke Kennard remember when they came back from like well over 20 down to beat the Wizards and Luke Kennard had a 4-point play at the buzzer. It's so weird. Like they really tried. They tried their best. I know that they had like some, and they had some kind of decent performances out of, like, they have a good bench. Like, I think Tyronn Lue's a good coach. I think he gets a little bit too much praise as, like, the master of adjustments. But, like, Ivica Zubac, Nick Batum, they picked up Robert Covington in that trade involving Norman Powell, Terrence Mann, even Brandon Boston and Amir Coffey. Like, I thought they got good production out of all of these guys.
It's the fact that he did anything. Is sort of the, you know, it's like, well, why doesn't he get rookie of the year? Because you see all the injuries they had, you see that he actually didn't go to the tank.
And they gave up on the guys that weren't doing nothing for him. Serge Ibaka, see you later. Eric Bledsoe, see you later. That was a great choice, you know?
So then I think that's pretty much all we could say about the Clippers. Just you overachieved. There's not going to be much in the offseason from them because they have no money to do anything. They have no wiggle room. So it's just sort of find these, you know, these hidden gems for the bench and second round pick and sort of work on that.
Yeah. And the only chip that they really had, but they already traded it away to Portland was Eric Bledsoe because he had a small guarantee. They turned that into Norman Powell. He's got full guaranteed money. So hopefully Powell can, you know, stay upright and be a good player for them and all that stuff. Ivica Zubac, like I said, I thought he had good production. I think they'll pick him up. Nick Batum, he's interesting because he's got a player option and it's $3.3 million, which you would think, oh, opt out. But where's Nick Batum going to go, Adam? Like, I think he might actually just stay.
He seemed happy there. He was content to take that low money deal to be there in the first place. So why not just he's not going to be a big contract player anywhere anymore. So you kind of.
I think Covington's going to be gone, though. Like, I don't think they're going to go even deeper into the tax because they're well into the tax. For those who don't know, they're like going to be a repeat payer.
That's why I said they're going to be very quiet in the offseason. So just
correct.
OK, good enough.
Going to be four guys on the perimeter that are able to attack as well.
Into the backcourt, Levine's going to try to beat Love for it. Here we go. Oh, it came out of his hand. But Zach's got a smile on his face.
Hey, Zach got that steal.
Give him the assist, I guess.
It was like a Ferrari going up against a Hyundai on the Autobahn. Because there was no way in the world Kevin Love was going to get that.
Great hustle play. It will be a rebound officially on that play. No assist. But Levine had a smile on his face. Still great hustle to beat Kevin Love to that ball.
I told you. Hey, Ferrari and Hyundai.
Sexton denied, but a foul on Vucevic.
Now watch this hustle right here. A Ferrari versus Hyundai on the Autobahn. Right here, watch this. Whoop. Kevin Love just tackled him, but there's that. He was getting ready to try to reverse
that. Sir.
Zach's like, wait a minute. Hey, hold up, man. My bad.
My bad, guys.
You know, I played in the Olympics. I don't got my legs out of me yet. You know, give me a couple of weeks.
All right, Adam. The Chicago Bulls, I guess they were the 2021 offseason take a swing team. I know Miami sort of did one with Kyle Lowry too, but Chicago took a swing. We predicted that they were going to definitely be better than they were the year before, and they were, but I think you were less optimistic about their playoff advancement potential, and it turned out that you were right about that one because they got knocked out the first round.
Well, with Chicago, it was we said, oh, wow, we can't believe you got DeRozan, who might bite you in year three of his contract. You're able to trade for Lonzo Ball, but you've sacrificed all your depth. And then once Patrick Williams went out in the first week, or it was definitely first month.
It was the first week. It was the first week he broke his wrist.
Mm-hmm. And then, well, that happens. Well, it shows you have no bench, so you need all your starters to be on fire. And DeRozan for the first half of the season was. Then he sort of cooled off. And then Chicago as a whole sort of cooled off because they only would beat the bad teams. It's like, oh, well, they're not. We can see what they're doing.
Well, did you mention the – I totally skipped. Did you mention the other two injuries involving Caruso and Ball?
No, because those were at the end of the season where they already were cooling off.
I thought the Caruso injury was huge, but the Lonzo Ball injury was – that was the death knell.
Well, that was the end of it. But Caruso was just – well, he was your spark plug bench guy. Yeah. And to their credit, you know, Ayo Dosunmu, he came out of nowhere, nice second-round pick, and became very, very, very serviceable and not what you expected from him. So, yeah, he stepped up, but did anybody else? No, because you had no bench, and it was sort of this is what you have, and then now you have – so the only real question for Chicago is – well, this was all centered on, well, Zach LaVine is going to come back, right? And then all of a sudden – and, you know, reports come out. He's like, oh, no, I want to test free agency. I want to see what's out there. It's like, oh, well, that's not a good thing for Chicago.
Zach LaVine had a couple of breaks in between because he had some knee issues. And there was very short speculation about whether or not he was going to even be able to play. But he kind of sat, I think, with LaVine because his situation was that he's – the Bulls started out really, really hot with him and DeRozan and Nikola Vucevic. I thought was consistently good all year. They were both like DeRozan had an MVP caliber year. I'll focus on him in a sec. But for LaVine, like he averaged like 24 points, 4.5 assists. He got to the line a lot. He made nearly 3 3-pointers a game, and he played 67 games. So it wasn't like the health issues were taking him out of games. I think the health issues did hurt him down the stretch when he had to play with the hurt knee because of the fact that he didn't want to miss any games because he was trying to get supermax. Because if he's in that territory where he's played for more than 7 years, and because he is an unrestricted free agent coming up, because for those who don't know, Zach LaVine's deal came from an offer sheet from the Sacramento Kings back in 2018, and the Bulls matched it when they got LaVine in a trade involving Jimmy Butler way back when. So LaVine was not willing to, like, basically negotiate an extension with them. He wanted to explore free agency, like you said. So he could have actually gotten Supermax if he re-signed with the Bulls. So I think he was trying to force himself to play play as many games as he could so he could get on all NBA, but I don't think he's going to get it.
No.
I mean, it was just a risk that just didn't work out. It's okay. He had a great year. He was an all-star. DeRosa was an all-star, but he had a stretch. I think, didn't he have that one where he made two game-winning buzzer beaters on back-to-back days?
Yeah. And
he was awesome.
So here's sort of the question with Chicago is, how do you maintain the momentum they have going for them?
Well, you have to also put in the eventual erosion of DeRozan's game. Is it going to be like Kemba Walker in Boston, where he went from being an all-star starter to crap? Like, I don't think that's going to happen to DeRozan. I think his game is just way too consistent. He's also a great free throw shooter. So if you can get to the line, you can live there. So I think DeRozan won't degrade too much. Like, 28 points, 5 assists, getting the line, making 7 free throws a game. Like, that's incredible, Adam. Like, that's like James Harden level when he was in his prime. I can't believe I said that in the past tense.
So it's they do have some murky waters too. It's not all, you know, like I said last year, oh my God, you know, this is going to be, we're now going to be, and you know, a top three.
It still feels to be continued because of Ball. Like, when they were all four, when it was, or all five, when it was DeRozan, LaVine, Ball, Vucevic, and Caruso, they looked awesome. Their defense specifically looked really good. When their defense fell apart, which is what a lot of people predicted because of the fact that LaVine and DeRozan didn't have good plus-minus numbers on defense, and playing them together might be a disaster. It did kind of turn into a disaster defensively for them, like, in the second half of the season. But early on in the year, when their defense was really good, their plus-minus, their net rating, they looked really impressive. So I just want to see how they look when they have all of their key pieces. That's going to be the most interesting thing there. Kobe White, he's got one more year left, and he'll be a restricted free agent. I mean, because of the salary crunch, like you said, trying to stay away from the tax, I don't think they're going to be able to I don't think they're going to take a real swing at trying to keep him.
He was supposed to be the answer. Yeah. Remember, because they had Chris Dunn. Well, we can ship him out because we drafted this kid. He's going to be then you have Ball, and then you have Dosunmu. You don't need White really with his salary.
Yeah, he kind of centralized a lot of our talks about the stars because, like you said, the bench was like, it was just something borrowed. It was like Troy Brown Jr. They picked up Tristan Thompson off the street in March. Tony Bradley, Dosunmu did play well as a rookie. Maybe Arnaldus, how do you say that GM's name? I'm drawing a blank. Karnisovas. Maybe they'll put some magic together, and maybe they'll have a late pick and they'll pick up somebody on the level of Dosunmu, someone who can really provide. So when you have two of them coming off the bench next year that can really help you, it's better than just one like you did this year because it wasn't enough to beat the defending champions. You know, it's going to be interesting. I mean, it really all centralizes around what LaVine wants to do, whether he's just willing to go elsewhere. And when he signs that deal, if he stays with Chicago, how much more is it than the $19.5 million? I would have to think, Adam, it's going to be something in the $30 million range. It's going to be big money.
And if that's the case, they have no money for anybody else for a long time.
Mm-hmm. So it's going to be an interesting thing. Like, I think Jerry Reinsdorf is going to be in a situation where it's like, all right, are you going to pay tax for a team that just lost in the first round? Like, the other one, and because we're recording at this time, before they've really settled a lot of things, do you think Billy Donovan's going to stick around?
They would have fired him already.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I, you know, they have potential. Like, I still think about, like, how they looked in November and December. They looked really good. I know you don't win the NBA championship in November and December, but there were glimpses there where they looked like they could be an elite team. And I don't know if it's injuries. I don't know if it's the eventuality of their defense not being able to stay upright down the stretch. But they just need to find a way to build a roster to try to keep the same momentum in the later part of the season as they did in the beginning. Okay, Adam, and to continue the trend of Eastern Conference teams that seemed to look like powerhouses early and then kind of flamed out really quickly, the Cleveland Cavaliers.
they were just that weird. What are you doing? You're having weird signings. You have a weird roster. And then it somehow all worked out. Now the problem is.
Until it didn't.
Until everybody got injured. But now we said, you know, in the beginning of last year, well, they can't keep Sexton and Garland. So Garland is obviously their man of the future. So Sexton's going to be gone, most likely via sign and trade.
So you think they're going to break up Sexland?
They don't have money for him. They, you
Sexton
know, Kevin
said,
Love,
now listen, words are words, but Sexton said in an interview he wants to stay in Cleveland.
Why wouldn't he? Who's going to say I want to leave? That's not good. That's not, you know.
Well, because they have his restricted free agency, because they didn't negotiate an extension. I actually pined for it. Good thing they didn't listen to me. Good thing I'm not the GM of an NBA team, because when we do those drafts, that never works out well. But yeah, in the point guard culture wars, I would say that Darius Garland clearly won, because he was an all-star, had an amazing year, 21 points, 8.5 assists, made a bunch of threes, got to the free throw line a little bit. He played 68 games. He rarely got hurt. Like, he had a wonderful year. I mean, let me ask you this about Garland. Do you feel like when you watch him, you see something different from him, or something that maybe reminds you of a player where you said, oh man, that's an elite player?
Yeah.
Who's that?
No.
Oh, it doesn't remind you of anybody?
No, not really.
You know who he reminded me of? Chauncey Billups. He reminded me of Chauncey Billups when he was in his prime.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't go that far.
Okay. But he had a wonderful year. Evan Mobley as a rookie, perfect fit, 15 points, 8 rebounds. I still can't believe he didn't win Rookie of the Year.
Completely shocking when he didn't win Rookie of the Year, but he was the reason Cleveland had this. And the difference between other teams, I don't think they're going to have super expectations next year. They overachieved so far and they're still young. It's just one of those. You have an expiring Kevin Love. This is, you traded for Caris LeVert, and this is the final year of his deal. Mm-hmm. So you have to figure out what you're sort of doing. So
did you like Kevin them was, where they unloaded Rubio, who wasn't expiring, for Caris LeVert, who had an extra year? So you're basically saying, we're going to bring back Caris LeVert for another year.
Yeah, and that's how you could get rid of you have LeVert, therefore you don't need Sexton again. So
yeah, I thought he looked okay. I thought LeVert looked okay.
He was fine. He's not the superstar that he was supposed to be. It's just, you know, Rubio got injured. Therefore, it's, well, we're at this super overachieving thing. Let's get this team into a play-in game. Let's get them some playoff experience so they can see how it changes. Well, that's how you develop. It's like, well, isn't it better to get to tank and get a higher draft pick? Well, no.
Not if you're trying to make the playoffs, dummy.
If you're on the fringe, no, you want your guys to, what's better, a 14th pick, or getting the guys to see how things change, how you mature, getting playoff experience, playoff reps? It's a different world. And once you start tanking, it's like, well, okay, well, we might get a higher pick, but then that means, you know, the players there aren't going to be there much longer, as we keep mentioning with Oklahoma City. As great as they love their, you know, their prospects, oh, they could be easily replaceable. No, you get playoff experience. Well, that's now developing, so we can look forward to a progression from Lauri Markkanen. We can look forward to a progression from Evan Mobley and Darius Garland. We don't have that.
Yeah, like Caris LeVert, the idea is to, like you said, progress from him. Like, say you're going to get a good, and Kevin Love, like, you get a good year out of him. But, like, say, for example, you get an upgrade. Well, then you have to negotiate a buyout for Kevin Love. And this is something they desperately wanted to do. Love's an interesting situation because they desperately wanted to get out of from his contract for a couple of years when they were bad. Now they were good, and Kevin Love was a good sixth man for them. He averaged 13.7 rebounds. He made a bunch of threes. He had some nice moments, but he's regressed. So you want to progress. You want to get somebody better. Like, what do you think is going to be Kobe Altman's mindset with Kevin Love? Do you think it's changed?
I don't know if they can. They're not going to get a big deal for him.
Yeah, but you have to buy him out if you don't keep Sexton. Now, if you retain Sexton, you're getting close to that tax again. And now you can't, you're going to have to find a way to either keep Love or just trade him outright.
I just think if with LeVert, LeVert sort of says Sexton is out, not keeping Kevin Love for the extra year. And there's no point of buying him out now because he has been helpful. He's been happy there. He's been willing to come off the bench. And he's been willing to teach the young players.
Adam, $29 million is a lot of money for a six man.
So what are you going to trade for him?
You're going to get a first round pick a middle pack first round pick and Robert Covington. I don't know. I don't even know where Robert
Nobody has $30 million to absorb without sending back bad contracts, which Cleveland doesn't need at the moment because Garland will be up in 2 years, I believe.
Yeah, you can't throw in Chetty Osmond, who's a nice player because he makes $7 million. Isaac Okoro. I don't even know. He might be a bust. I'm sorry to say it.
I don't want to say he's a bust. He's just the fifth option. You're just there. Be the sort of energy defensive guy. Because he played 60-something games, so he was there. It's just, if you're not the focal point of anything, don't be a liability.
Jared Allen was the all-star of this of that kind of wonky big lineup that they threw out there, but I liked Markkanen. I thought Markkanen fit well for them.
Which, who would have expected of having three centers?
Yeah, he's a good three-point shooter, which means you can go off in the playoffs if you're hot. Allen kind of – the only problem for Allen is that – and it's hard to judge him – is that he hurt his wrist pretty badly. So when he played in the play-in, he tried to gut through it, but he wasn't the same because he had the bad rest, it hurts your performance. So, but he had a terrific year, 16 points, 11 rebounds. Do you feel better about the contract he signed? Cause what he got was 5 years, $100 million guaranteed flat cash.
Yeah. And he's earned every penny of it by getting an all-star.
But will he in 2025? That's the question.
They don't need to worry about that for three more years.
Rookie max extension for negotiated in advance for Garland. I have to assume it's going to happen. I just can't imagine it not happening.
Oh yeah, most likely. There's no reason for them not to. But with, like I said, with Cleveland, I think we could just say it is good that they are looking up, and they didn't have this big, huge bottoming out that we all sort of expected and dreaded. They were fun to watch, so. I don't think that you have really much to worry about. It's just sort of go in and don't tinker with the team too much.
Yeah, I think that they got a lot of potential there. They can definitely make the playoffs next year. Do they have to tinker with the lineup a little bit? Of course they do. Maybe they can trade away at Coro, get something back for him. I don't know if they have that first round pick because I think something got traded in that LeVert deal, and I think it was a first. But anyways, I know they can probably do some stuff in free agency or through trades. My big question is what do you do with Kevin Love? Do you keep him or do you try to parcel him out somewhere in a buyout or some trade away and find a sucker and maybe try to improve with some of that space?
Get some momentum, rev up the engine, and then go straight downhill on the smaller reads.
Wow, Westbrook throws it into the 10th row and the ball finds its way back too.
Okay, Adam, congratulations to the Los Angeles Lakers on not even making the play-in tournament.
We talked about them so much. We talked about what went wrong with them this season pretty much from the get-go of, well, you had GM LeBron and GM Anthony Davis said, we want our friend. I'm coming home. It's going to be great. Well, what are you going to do? There's no spacing. There's no depth, and it turns out they had no spacing and no depth, and then they just got torn apart, and injuries, bench.
We talk about it all the time in the playoffs, Adam, the big eye injuries, Anthony Davis, this is just him. He's a phenomenal player. Without him, they don't win in the bubble, but God, injuries just always attack that man. He's a phenomenal, I keep saying, he's a great player. He's got, by the way, two years and a player option at $43 million. He ain't going anywhere. If there's anyone who's going anywhere, it's LeBron. LeBron's got 1 year left at $44 million. He's got that under 38 rule kicking in where you can only sign so many years for so much money. So he'll be limited with how much he can even make if the Lakers are even willing to do it.
So the only thing we say about the Lakers is they got to figure out what to do with Westbrook and how they move on from him.
And I know that's crazy to say about LeBron, but you got to think about it because, yes, did he almost win the scoring title? Yes. Did he have really good numbers? Yes. Defensively, he looked terrible. His teams, when he was the lead offensive option, like, what was their fucking record, Adam? Like, it was 33-49. I mean, come on now.
Which was good for all the other, for all the haters and the, you know, the thankfully.
Davis was good when he played. Like, he averaged, like, well over 2 blocks a game, 23 points, 10 rebounds, four. He got to the free throw line almost as much as LeBron did. Like, he was productive, but he only played 40 games. The one who actually played a lot, played almost all the games, but almost to their detriment, like you mentioned, was Russell Westbrook. 18.7 rebounds, 7 assists. I mean, it looks good, but that's on the Russ scale. Like, then you look at the plus minus and the efficiency, and you're like, you know?
Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's up to the GM LeBron to figure out how to, because just trying to get the old timers again. Well, you're the oldest team before. You're not going to, I don't see, you can't bring all those people back. And then you had to, you're reduced to signing Wenyen Gabriel and the hope he get. It's just,
you were asking for game winning shots from Austin Reeves because you were out of other options at the 3-point spot. I thought they got good production out of Malik Monk and Carmelo Anthony. I can see them actually coming back. Talen Horton-Tucker did sign that contract, but it's a player option in 23. So it's really just for 2 more years. Maybe they can, knowing LeBron, they might just turn that into a trade to try to latch him on Westbrook if they can make that happen. But that's a lot of money going, changing hands. That's like $57 million because of the fact that Westbrook has a player option at $47 million. He'd be a fool not to use it. So you'd have to flip that for something really, really big in return. So, like, what max player is going to go to LA in exchange for Russell Westbrook? Like, what team is stupid enough to do that?
Exactly. So that's why, good luck to them. And then,
do you smell a buyout?
That's the only thing they can do. They can only move him for other bad parts, and they'll have to give. They'll have to give, you know, first round picks to trade him away. So why not just say, okay, we know we can't do anything with him. Let's just buy him out and we're good enough. And that is the end of the Lakers. We're done talking about them finally.
All right, Adam, the Charlotte Hornets. Like, this is one where I felt like they had some potential, but I don't feel like their expectations, like, were raised that much. But it was raised high enough to the point that when they went to the play-in and lost for the second year in a row, it cost James Borrego his job.
Well, that's unrealistic GM expectations of, I don't know what they were sort of thinking given,
Adam,
that
I
roster.
I can't believe you said that. Are you saying Michael Jordan and Mitch Kupchak have unreasonable expectations?
All of a sudden, you know, we're going to make the playoffs, we're going to be winning, we're going to go all in. It's like, yeah, Gordon Hayward did not pan out as expected. Well, we have, you know, LaMelo Ball, who's the rookie of the year, and he's going to take a leap and we're going to be great. And, well, it didn't really happen that way. And barring, you know, really Atlanta and New York's collapses, they could have easily not been in the play-in game to begin with.
Right.
So it's one of those, what you kind of need to, they're looking to move on from Hayward because you got to give Bridges some money, which
Miles
he's
Bridges. Yeah. All these Bridges in the NBA, Mikal, Miles. If your last name is Bridges and you're in the NBA, you're going to be rich.
But
Miles Bridges, sort of let me say this. Miles Bridges is legitimately good. Like, he had some moments where he looked good. He averaged 20.7 rebounds, 4 assists. He got to the free throw line a lot, 35 minutes a game. Like, he's a stud.
He is, and then you need to pay him like he is to make this new core of him and LaMelo. The problem is, like I said, if you have Gordon Hayward at $30 million sitting there, it's not going to do well. You have Rozier. He's a serviceable point guard. He's not.
Oh, he has
good
some nice
enough
moments, but he's got a big, big contract that's kicking in. Like, that's well over 20. The deal that he did the sign and trade with involving Kemba way back was in the high teens, which
it was 3 years. Yeah,
this is 4 years, $90 million. This is nice money. So like,
it's gonna be hard
deliver
to
deliver. Can he deliver? Yeah, he can.
You can't move him without moving other big pieces. And then, you know, their first round pick of James Bouknight in the lottery he had a rough year. Did not seem to get along.
Yeah, he didn't mesh well with the coach. Like, he had a couple issues with Borrego. Let's see who, as we record, they haven't hired a coach yet. We'll see if he fits well with the next one. PJ Washington, he was kind of like circulated in trade rumors. It didn't happen. He's got one more year going up, and he's going to be restricted free agent after that. He had some nice moments. I don't think he can negotiate his way into getting an extension early unless he looks great in training camp, you know, before the deadline. And they're like, oh, man, like Wendell Carter Jr. did with the Magic, where it's like, oh, man, we need to sign him up. He's gotten a lot better. But I think, Adam, you hit it on the head. I think they're in a situation where, because Gordon Hayward has 2 years left on his contract, you know, $30 million in 22, $31.5 million in 2023, and the numbers in the stats show for it, like 16 points, 4.5 rebounds, 3.5 assists, like all diminishing returns. He had good moments. Like, he had one game I remember against the Spurs where he scored 40 points and he looked awesome. But it's few and far, but it's fewer and farther between. So you're at a point where, yeah, you do have to look and see, can we unload him? Can we do it? And it's a little bit of an about face because Michael Jordan really wanted Gordon Hayward. That's why they made the deal to get him. He didn't get dumped to Charlotte. He went there because they wanted him.
Because they gave him that extra money and
the five. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the problem, is now you have to live within the contract is sort of outweighing his production. And Charlotte sort of hit that glass ceiling of, this is how good you're going to be. You're not going to make that next leap, especially with all those teams who are much better than you.
And especially like, on defense, which is the we always talk about it, Adam. It's the separator. And their defense was just never there. They had moments where they got better, but offense was really their bread and butter. LaMelo Ball had a very good sophomore year. 20 points, 6.5 rebounds, 7.5 assists, made a ton of threes, one of the league leaders in steals. He also played 75 games, so he didn't have an injury this time. We already mentioned Bridges. Kelly Oubre Jr. did fit really well as a sixth man, but because of the situation with Hayward not being able to maybe get off of him, and then you got Rozier's new deal kicking in, you can actually cut Oubre and save $7 million. And for Mason Plumlee, you can cut him and save $5 million, which I think will absolutely happen with Plumlee. What do you think for Oubre?
He was a nice cheap bargain at $12 million. Mm-hmm. And if you could sort of keep him, there's no reason to not.
So just take that hit and cut Plumlee.
Yeah, because he hasn't really... If you're still in the market for a center, your center signing, you traded, you know, from Detroit, you haven't done it.
What about Montrezl Harrell? They borrowed him. He looked okay. He didn't look as good as he did earlier in the year with the Wizards, but he had some nice moments. But do you think they'll try to keep him?
No, I see Montrez moving on to greener pastures.
Yeah, the other free agency questions for them are like a lot of these teams kind of locked in a lot of like Brogier and people like that. They already locked them in already. So a lot of these are going to be kind of like not much suspense in terms of free agency. It's really in the trades where the action happens, and that doesn't start till we get to the draft. So maybe we'll have some fireworks then. But for the Hornets, like, you know, Cody Martin, I think they'll retain him, and you know, I think they really like him. Isaiah Thomas, I mean, whatever. I mean, do you think he'll stay?
He's a veteran minimum player wherever he goes, so it doesn't matter what he's not going to provide you anything more than veteran's minimum. So
right, and
it doesn't matter.
And they did get some decent play out of JT Thor, who is one of their rookies. I mean, but every now and then, you mentioned Bouknight and his struggles. Hopefully I always want players to succeed. So I hope Bouknight has a really good second year. You know, like you.
Sadiq staying in front. Ball gets away.
What is Sadiq time
will
doing?
Take it away from Harden and drive him down.
He had a brain lap. Look at this, folks. It goes off his legs. Now he's just. He went. Dormant.
Okay, Adam, the Brooklyn Nets, our NBA champion Brooklyn. Oh, wait, no, they lost in the first round and didn't win a playoff game.
Well, we will speed through Brooklyn as we've spent most of the season talking about them and their dysfunction. And
not us, not just us.
Everybody, talked about them. And that's the thing is they admitted, oh, yeah, Kyrie playing half a season did affect us and we couldn't get a rhythm because our star player didn't want to play the full year. Okay, well, that's all over now. I don't think we should even talk about Ben Simmons. So, because his situation is just whatever. So
did not play a game. I don't want to talk too much about that whole thing where he didn't play game four. Cause like, what was the benefit of playing the game four? But then again, it shows that you just didn't have the heart to want to play it, even though you were fully healthy and you seemed to indicate that you were cleared to play. But because it's a mental thing, you can easily go back on that. I don't want to talk about it too much, you know.
The fact is he'll be back next year. He'll be back. Right. That's fine. The only they have no money for anything, as you know, it's just, well, what do they do with Kyrie? So this will just be the only question we will ask with Brooklyn because there's really nothing else we can say. No, so what do you do?
I got to say this about Kyrie Irving, though. He played 29 games in total. He looked really good. He had two games in particular. I know it was the Hornets and the Magic. But he had two games where, like, when his shot is on Adam, he is incredible. Like, he can do things that no one else can do. Is he mercurial? Is he strange? Is he not a good team chemistry fit? Yes, he hits all those. He checks all those boxes. But as an individual player, he is just a magnificent guard.
Yeah, but in the playoffs, he did not look to be 100%.
Well, he had defensive player of the year on him is why.
He looked slow, and it's only as he gets older, it's only going to start getting, you know, his shenanigans like Terrell Owens. You're a super talent until your headaches start out, and, you know, Ron Artest and Steven Jackson, when your headaches start outweighing the talent. So what do you offer him?
Right. So
Do you offer him five years? Do you offer him what do you do?
So let's look at the lay of the land. Kyrie Irving has a player option, but he's got $37 million that he would be backing out of if he does the player option. I mean, I know there's a lot of shadow GMs who sit there and say, oh, no, I wouldn't want him on my team anonymously. But we all know that they would probably sign him in a heartbeat if he was an unrestricted free agent. And he was willing to go there. The Nets do have full bird rights, so they can put him in there without and go well over, which they're probably going to have to pay a lot of tax anyway, because even though they moved on from James Harden, you bring in Ben Simmons. Harden was going to make $47 million. Ben Simmons made 35, but they also got Seth Curry, who makes about 8.5, and he's on his last year of that contract next year. I thought Seth Curry looked good for the Nets. Like, I think he can fit well.
I don't know. What do you think?
I think he'll be good for Kyrie. I think, because that's the big question you asked. I think that he'll probably opt in. I think he'll just give it one more go with Durant and Simmons and see how it goes. Joe Harris may be fully healthy. And then if you have Harris and Curry as your gunners, like in the back end on taking threes, along with Irving is a great 3-point shooter too. That's when that team could probably be a really good offensive team. My other question is, does Steve Nash stick around as the head coach?
Well, what do you really do? You can see with that, you're not going to get anybody a high name team with that dysfunction, especially if Kyrie does come back. Well, I mean, he's going to come back, but again, it's sort of the buyer beware. You don't want to, you give him 5 years. Okay. Good luck. But
we're in our rent-a-player phase again with the Brooklyn Nets. Last year was Blake Griffin. He signed a veteran's minimum to stay one more year. Now it's Andre Drummond. Drummond actually looked really good. Do you think that they'll just retain Drummond and maybe Blake Griffin, they could put him out to pasture?
It's one of those, if they can re-sign him for the minimum, why wouldn't they bring him back, either of them back?
I don't think LaMarcus Aldridge is coming back. I think he's done.
Yeah, he's most likely done. But it's one of the, I guess if they want to play and they're content playing for the minimum, I don't see
But here's the thing, they'll find a new one. They'll find a West. What if Russell, this is insane. What if Russell Westbrook is traded to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma City buys him out, and then he's a veteran's minimum?
I don't think he's going to go to a veteran's minimum anywhere.
I'm just throwing things out there. Cam Thomas and De'Ron Sharpe had some nice moments, particularly Thomas, but Thomas's numbers shrank when they brought in Curry, because I mean, why do you need a guy who shoots less than 30% from three when you have a guy who shoots 40% from three? It just
exactly.
Nick Claxton, restricted free agent. I know everybody clowned him for not making free throws in the playoffs. I think he made 4 out of 24 shots. Some crazy number. But he does have athleticism. He was a decent rebounder for them when they had injuries in the front court. Let me look at it. 9 points and 5.5 rebounds. But he only played 47 games. this is one of those low-end restricted free agency kind of things where he's not going to be in super high demand. They might not even make the deal until like late July. Like, what do you think is going to happen here?
I don't see him having really any more value than anybody else.
Like, you don't see like a Charlotte or a Portland.
I don't see a team going like, we're going to give you $70 million. I don't see that. I don't see anybody breaking the bank from it. It's just going to be one of those sort of, you know, 4-year, 40, if he gets one.
Bruce Brown, who actually played well in the playoffs, and his numbers were okay in the regular season, 9 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. He was decent, good shooter, okay defender, but not a great defender. But he'll be unrestricted free agents, but he has early bird rights, so it might be enticing to go elsewhere. Like, do you think he'll leave?
If a team pays him, I think that he will. I don't think he'll take a big hometown discount.
I think Dragic is going to stay. I think they're going to try to build a team at him where they just take a bunch of threes. I think that's going to be the idea. I think Dragic liked it there.
Okay. And that's Brooklyn. That's all we're going to say because we talked about them so much.
And Patty Mills player option at $6 million. I don't even know. Patty Mills stunk at the back end. But for Kevin Durant, like, this is your team. This is what you built. This is what you wanted. He signed that extension in the offseason last year that kicks in this coming season. So he's locked in unless he demands a trade, which is like that's the blow him up situation that Sean Marks will have. But I feel like that this team does have potential. The problem was the version that they had wanted, that they had envisioned, it was very ambitious. It had the potential on paper to be great. And when it fell apart midseason, when they swung a trade for a player that never played a minute, you were kind of deep six from the start. All right, Adam, I made a prediction before the season started that I thought this was going to be Greg Popovich's last year. It doesn't look like that's the case, but it looks like the twilight is coming. But if it is, at least they're trying to fight the twilight because they still got into the play-in because the Spurs always overachieve under Pop. They did lose to the Pelicans, but they did have some bright spots.
It was funny. I could have recalled you saying they will be the worst team
in the NBA. I did say
and that. You were doubled down on it, and you're like, I'm like, that's not going to happen. Happen. You're like, I'm betting every under. So,
I didn't make that day. But
they continued to overachieve. They didn't tank. They low-key tanked, and they weren't even able to do that because there were so much more worse teams. So they somehow worked their way into a playoff game, which, of course, they quickly got easily eliminated. But looking ahead, you have – I don't know what they're sort of going with their roster because they sort of half-gutted it.
If DeJounte Murray is your star player, I worry. You know, like, I think he would be a phenomenal sidekick. Like, if he was, like, the second-best player and you had, like, a superstar with him and Keldon Johnson and Jakob Poeltl, like – I think that's a nice little team. I know there were rumors that Poeltl might get unloaded, but anyways, like with Murray, like, do you think efficiency wise, cause that's his biggest criticism that he's not an efficient player. Do you think that he'll be, do you think that he can be like a key cog to the Spurs if they make like another run?
Yeah, he can. And so can Jakob Poeltl, who still continues to be good there. And, the problem in Keldon Johnson as well is
I love Keldon Johnson. I love how hard he plays. I think he might get an extension negotiated in advance this summer.
The problem is the roster is just, you look at it, you got your boy Doug McDermott still has 2 more years left on his deal. They got Josh Richardson, you know, for a first round pick. You got Zach
Collins. Richardson looked okay. So
you got Zach Collins, you got Josh Primo, who was their rookie of their question, but like, really, why'd you take him? He didn't really do much.
No, but he's the youngest player in the NBA. Like, he will grow. Like, time will tell.
Yeah. And you just have a lot of not really much there. Their roster is kind of bare, but you do have money to spend. San Antonio has not been known to go out and spend, especially if they know they can't compete. So it's
the
just
only time they did that, Adam, I remember, was LaMarcus Aldridge. That was the one where they took a swing at it. You know?
So it'll be interesting to see how they spend this money because they have to, because that roster just looks bad and there's not much to develop. You know, I'm saying there's not these superstar potential players. Keldon Johnson looks good, but he's not going to be that number one option
No, yet. His numbers look okay. Like, you know, he gets to the line sometimes. He makes threes. He never gets hurt. It seems like played 75 games, 17 points. I do like how I watched the Pels game because I was a Pels fan. Devin Vassell just drained threes the entire game. So, like, I wonder if he's got some potential. He was a very high pick in, I think, the 2020 draft. So we'll see.
They always have that guy.
Yeah.
They got that Bryn Forbes, the you know, Davis Bertans. Just get that guy sitting in the
Lonnie Walker the fourth look good sometime. Now, he's restricted. I don't know what's going to go on with him. I think Trey Jones is going to get kept. Romeo Langford's got a guaranteed year. I don't know. Maybe they'll just trade him again the way they did with Chandler Hutchinson. I don't know. Poeltl's got 1 year left. I think they might negotiate an extension with him.
Oh, yeah, because he was
get something
was
done with there. Keldon Johnson. Yeah.
No, Jakob was quite, you know, it was a solid pickup as part.
I know everybody clowns him for getting dunked on by John Morant, which was a fierce dunk, but at least he goes for it. You know, at least you got to try to block the shot. And he was a great shot blocker.
Yeah.
You know, so, for Popovich, let me just ask you this. Do you think this is it, like, coming up?
I think this will be the farewell season.
Okay.
Considering he's, you know, step. You had last season was, but I think just the overachieving and him setting the record, which was his thing. He kind of wants, you know, one more, you know, farewell tour.
So do you think they'll save the cap? Well, I mean, there's obviously a cap floor, so you got to spend it somehow. So they're going to get somebody or a couple people. But do you think they're going to, like, go for broke if they know this is Popovich's last year and he'd rather go out
they're
with
not
guys gonna, and go with, like, some rebuild, let's go for it, let's push one more time? I don't really know what the mindset R.C. Buford has if he knows this will be Pop's last year.
No, because if it's his last year, you're not going to go all in to become a seven seed, if right. that high, and still be bounced out in the first round because, like we mentioned, the cupboard's pretty bare here. So they have pieces, they have money to work with. It's just kind of you're not going to become the elite of the West. And even just thinking, like, let's say they do improve, you know, expecting the Lakers to bounce back, you're looking, if you get better, you're still not even in the playoffs. And then, so it's
a punt.
Where's
so
your, like, ceiling? Your ceiling is at 8 or 9?
So I can see him keeping Josh Richardson with his $12 million on one more year. Like, I could see him keeping Zach Collins. They can basically cut that salary in half and cut him, but I can see him just retaining it because they're so far under. So, like, because DeJounte Murray does make money, but it's not, like, huge, huge money. Like, he's somewhere around, like, 15 to 16 million. Like, it's not much. He might want an extension, but is he worth it is a whole nother debate. But basic, long story short, even though they have a few slightly blown up salaries, it's not to the point that it's threatening them getting close to the tax or the cap limit. So they have so much space that I can just see him retaining it, ballooning it, and then letting it all go when Pop leaves, and maybe they can go for a big fish in the Spurs Pop family, like Quinn Snyder or Rick Carlisle. I don't even know. And say, let's make another go at it, but we'll try with a whole different nucleus.
I think it's just more of where they're going to get the assistant a new coach in place and just sort of have some sort of orderly transition, get 1 year.
Do you believe those rumors about Snyder?
All the rumors, it's just, you know, Snyder is gone, then Nick Nurse is gone, Doc Rivers will be gone. Like, come on, these people are all under, you know, why don't you try other things? But San Antonio, interesting, you know, it's always usually every year while they continue to stay pat. Now they have to start making changes. It'll be interesting to see what changes they do have to make.
Right, the cap space looks like, they can make a move. The question, the biggest is, will they?
Alrighty then, for Andrew Reich, I'm Adam Murray. Have a good one.
See ya.